Brother Damon, if you'd lead us in just praying for a moment. If you have your prayer language, exercise it. Pray in a known tongue, then just worship God for a moment.
Father, we rejoice in you, Father. We celebrate you this night, Father. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth, Father. We rejoice this night that in this place your will, plan, and purpose is accomplished, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that your people have hearts to receive, ears to hear. Father God, that we are changed by the it is written word of truth this night. Father, we decree that the man of God, he speaks as the oracles of God, that your anointing is upon him to declare your word boldly, accurately, and Lord God, to the purpose that you have purposed this night for your word to go out this night, that your people will be changed, Father. We thank you, Lord, that your word, Father, is like fresh seed this night, that your people are fertile ground to receive that word and be changed eternally as a result of that word being gone forth this night, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that nothing but your will, plan, and purpose is exalted in this place this night, Father. We rejoice. We thank you, Father, that your will, plan, and purpose is being accomplished in House of the Lord, in Austin, Texas, in the United States, and in this world, Father God. We thank you, Lord God, that this, as my brother said earlier, is our divine season. This is the season of due harvest, Lord God, and we lay hold of every promise, everything that you said is ours. We receive it, and we thank you, Lord God. Thank you that in this place, this night, your purpose is accomplished, Lord God, and we will be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory, Father. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Lord.
Go ahead and grab a seat if you would. Do any of the ministers have anything in their spirit to bring forth?
Just a word of encouragement. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 and verse 5. God who comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. Do you notice in that verse that the reason that we're able to comfort others is because God comforted us? There is always a corresponding supply for the demand that's needed. God isn't asking you to give anything you don't have. The supply comes from him. You give out of that supply to others. There's always more than enough in place that God supplies for whatever demand is out there. Verse 5, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. If you feel like there have been attacks in abundance, if you feel like things have been coming at you in abundance, know this, that just as there is an abundance of seemingly attacks coming against you, God has an abundance of overflow and provision ready to meet and exceed that which is coming against you. He says the sufferings came in abundance, but guess what? The comfort came in abundance as well. So no matter what sickness attacks, no matter what financial attacks, no matter what family attacks, know that God has more than enough in supply to meet and exceed and cause you to win in that situation. Amen.
Praise God. I mentioned to you Sunday the book Trash Man to Cash Man. How a gentleman working a garbage pickup truck went from $6.25 an hour to $10 million a year income when he learned the principles of God's Word. A lot of people don't realize that God's Word is an instruction manual for kingdom ruling and reigning. And if you read it looking for the thou shalt nots, you'll never get there. If you read it wondering, what does that mean? You're not going to get there. Let the word of truth interpret the word of truth, because it addresses every issue of life. Daddy God wants you successful. Amen. Daddy God did not create this world for the pimps and the bartenders. There's not a drug dealer in the earth that should be more blessed than you are. Determine that I'm going to walk in the blessings of the Lord. Amen. Sister Gail, I noticed that a picture got left off of this, but on the back table, there's a flyer you'll find that your staff has made up for you, and it has a number of the ministers in the body pictured there and their names, so you can call them by name before the Lord and decree that God is rising up mightily in them to do exploits in the land. Today the Lord said, I ordained this nation from the root to the fruit. And he said, it will produce a fruit of my righteousness. I want you to know that there is another great move of God coming. We saw one at the turn of the century. We saw one in the 30s and 40s. We saw a great healing revival in the 50s and 60s. Then the word movement. But God said, I want to bring a revival of miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen. And there's no reason why the ministers of this body can't walk in that divine authority and power. Now, how about y'all? Are you cool or warm? Okay. Just checking. I was getting a little cold up here, but then I'm right under a spout where the glory comes out. Need to get a deflector on that thing so that it doesn't blow right on the pulpit. I spent most of the day this afternoon in prayer and just praying in the Spirit, because I feel a rumbling of the Spirit of God moving us to a new and greater direction than ever before. And Daddy is calling for a revival in our nation. Not a revival meeting, but a revival of His Spirit, a revival of His power, a revival of making Him known. Your job as a believer is to know Him and to make Him known. Not in all the troubles you've been going through, and I know the good Lord will hold my hand as I go through this valley of destruction. No, he's saying, come up higher. Walk above it. Pastor, why do good things happen to bad people seemingly? And why do bad things happen to good people? The Word of God said the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The Bible says in this world you will have tribulation. He didn't say if you're a believer you'll be exempt from the hell that comes on the earth. He said you're going to be right there for it. But I have overcome it so you can claim my victory and stand in the face of it. Do not bemoan going through a problem. Celebrate all the way through it that God has already won your victory and your triumph for you. God did not call me to suffer, so I refuse to. God did not call me to poverty, so I refuse to have it. He didn't call me to show His goodness and kindness while I am dying with this disease. There's no glory in losing out to the curse. The glory comes in kicking its butt and getting back up and telling the story of how the redeemed of the Lord overcome. Don't struggle under the load. He bore it for you. What are you doing under there? I asked Daddy what I was to share tonight. And I'm glad Brother Brian shared. I thought maybe someone else would have something. If you have it after I get rolling, just jump in and share what God is speaking to your spirit. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe what? The promises of God. There are exceeding great and precious promises that pertain to everything that pertains to life and godliness. So if you can believe the promise of God, you can receive the promise of God. If you believe with His stripes you were healed, you can be healed. But then He threw me a little loop. And He said, now, believe what? And I told Him what I just told you. Believe the new covenant promises. He said, John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth of the word you're continuing in, and the truth will make you free. And I said, Daddy, what do those two verses have to go with each other? And he said, one explains the other. If you can believe, all things are possible. And if you know the truth that you know will make you free. And he said, it'll make you free from lack. It'll make you free from debt, free from sin, free from sickness, free from fear, free from unbelief, free from bondage, free from the terror that stalks by night. But I've got to know the truth, or the lie will hold me captive. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it says, there are exceeding great and precious promises that pertain to everything that pertains to life and godliness. That's not just a verse of Scripture. That's a promise of Daddy God that He already has a truth that will bring you freedom in whatever area is trying to hold you back, hold you captive, if you know the promise, you know the truth. If you know the truth, you can't be held in bondage. When you know the truth about any lie of Satan, you take a stand with the truth, Ephesians 6, 13 and 14. You take a stand with the truth against the lie. You don't repeat the lie. You don't call sister triple digit or brother speaks a lot and ask them to agree with you while you're going through this trial. You go to God's word and you agree with it. Daddy, you said with His stripes I was healed. You said you supply all of my need. You said anything would be possible for me if I believe your promise concerning that thing. Once I learned that the truth would liberate me from the lies of Satan, my life began to change. I refused to be held captive by doubt and unbelief. I refused to be held captive by sickness or disease. I refused to be held captive by debt and financial lack. I like living in the land of abundance. I said, I like living in the land of abundance. The blessings of the Lord. Pastor, what are the blessings of the Lord? There are exceeding great and precious promises that pertain to everything that pertains to life and godliness, that by laying hold of these blessings, they'll make you rich of mind, spirit, and body. Don't accept containment. You got to learn to tell yourself, I refuse to be contained by what tries to contain me. I rejoice when people grab hold of the truth. I sat down with a couple in the church recently, and we began to talk about an area that they were facing difficulty in. We talked for a few minutes. They made some decisions, and I'm watching now the turnaround. But Pastor, I've always been poor. Shut up, fool. Pastor, I keep asking God to heal me. Well, that's your problem. You don't pray, God, heal me. You say, Father, I thank you, your word is true. And because your word said with his stripes I was healed, I receive my healing and I refuse to be bound by sickness any longer. Amen. Sickness, disease, get out of my house. Amen. If you came home and a homeless person was sitting in your favorite chair watching your television, you wouldn't say, well, how long are you going to be here? Don't you have any place else to go? You'd say, get the hell out of my house. Pastor, I wouldn't say that. If they're sitting in my chair, I will. I don't want them to misunderstand. In fact, I may go open the door. A lie can only keep you in bondage till you know it's a lie and you stand with the truth against it. Sickness is a lie. Debt is a lie. Anything he was raised from the dead to deliver you from is a lie. Why are you walking around handcuffed to a lie when he rose from the dead to triumph over it for you? He didn't need healing. He didn't need salvation. He didn't need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. He didn't need wealth. He paid the price so I could have all of those. And then in the New Covenant, he wrote it down and said, Jerry, this is to you. You can do all things through the anointing that infuses you with divine ability. Because when I was released from the grave, I released the anointing into the earth. If you are called by my name, the redeemed, it's yours. Hosea 4:6, you know that passage. My people are destroyed some translations go perish for a lack of knowledge of what is already theirs. Sickness will wipe you out if you don't know you're the healed of the Lord. Debt will wipe you out if you don't know your God supplies all of your need. God never called you to walk around like this. He called you to walk around like this. You can be cut off from your victory by not knowing it's yours and standing on it till it comes to pass. John, we don't celebrate it one time. We keep celebrating it until it manifests. I've celebrated in the midst of bondages and watched them begin to fall off. Well, Pastor, how come they don't run the first time I say it? Because you wouldn't be knit with the truth. You'd be using the truth. If every time you said, I am blessed, instantly heaven opened up, trumpets began to play, and welches began to fall all over you, you'd use it. You wouldn't become one with that truth. He said, I'll go with you through the flame, through the flood, not around it. Bad things happen to good people because you're in the earth. And it's out there, but you've got to exercise authority over it. We have in this congregation, when they said Lake Travis would be dry by 2016, we went to prayer and rebuked it, and it began to rain, and the lake filled up above normal level. One night they said there was a hurricane coming to the Texas coast. We stood together and cursed it. And it turned and went to Louisiana. Why did it go to Louisiana? They wasn't praying. God wasn't judging Louisiana. God's not in the judging business. He judged the earth in His Son. And these prognosticators of gloom and despair that God's judging America. No! America's falling prey to the lie that He died to redeem us from. What new covenant promise are you standing on or standing with in this season of harvest? You might note Numbers 23:19, Isaiah 45:19. God said, I said it, I'll do it. Have you taken Him at His word and you're standing on it saying, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine? We used to sing a hymn in the church. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. No, it's not. Only the new covenant ones and the ones you stand in agreement with. Just because you carry one of these does not mean you know how to use it. Does not mean you've hid it in your heart. I had a bishop one day tell me, "You know more scripture than any man I've ever met." I didn't get excited about that. I got disappointed by that. You're a bishop, and I'm the best you've come across? I'm still learning. I'm still developing. I'm still fighting battles by standing with the truth so that I have notches. Notches in my prayer pistol. When God said to you, "Have I not said it, and will I not bring it to pass?" He was giving you the secret to victory. Daddy, you said this. Therefore, it has to come to pass, because you can't tell a lie. You can't change your mind. Once the words come out of your mouth, you're forever tied to it. So when I lay hold of that promise, I'm laying hold of the God who made it. That's why he doesn't want you using his word. He wants you becoming one with his word. The victorious Christian life is not hitting the lottery. It doesn't happen sometimes, but most of the time it doesn't. It happens every time you stand one with it and celebrate his truth as yours. It don't happen always on the first day, the first week. I wish it did. But I know one thing, having done all to stand, and he'll deliver. If God be for you, what can be against you? Romans 8:31. You've got to ask yourself that question. If God is for my health, how can sickness be against me? If God is for my wealth, how can poverty hold me captive? If God is for my joy, how come sadness seems to hang over me? You got to accept his truth as your truth, his answer as your answer, and you got to tell the lies, get out of town. Are you getting something tonight? Brother Ken, come and seal the word. Dismiss the people. It's early, but that's all Daddy gave me. So I ain't going to make something up. I'll give you what he gave me, and it must be enough, or you're giving me more.
Father, we thank you for your word this evening, Father. We receive it, Father. We know that your word has fallen on fertile ground in our hearts, Father. And we declare that your word sown in our hearts, Father, it will bear forth fruit, Father, fruit that remains, Father. And we will go in our respective spheres of influence, Father, and manifest your kingdom will, plan, and purpose, Father. We will continue to decree your word, your will, plan, and purpose, Father. Thank you, Lord.
You're blessed.